Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5. All right, top of the morning on a dreary Sunday morning. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And before we get started, let's do a little community info. Community info, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. And we'll be right back after this to get the show started. And we're back. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. And today my guest is Randy Morgan, and he is an artist. Hi there, Randy. How are you?
Hi, Ernest. I'm very happy to be here this
morning. Well, at least you got a good start on the day.
Yeah, I did. I was an hour early.
You're probably getting texts about 4:30. Are you sure you're going to be ready?
Yeah.
All right. So Randy,
they know me well.
So Randy, you're an artist and you've done a signature piece here in town. Tell us about that. It's the Waterman's Wall.
Well, first of all, it's just the backstory on the thing is, I'm a sculptor and I'm an architectural sculptor because I needed to make money. And before social media came along and the internet, you could have an e-commerce site and things that artists have today. I started the water. Oh, sorry.
What's an architectural sculptor?
An architectural sculptor is someone that makes. I'm a sculptor, so it's easy to be an architectural sculptor. Water features. Sculptured doors, sculptured entryways.
Okay.
I do these big walls called the roadmap of art walls,
which are
the bronze walls like you're referring to.
Oh, so
which
just
is the Waterman's Wall was the
practical
first.
Practical art.
So in 2008, with the economic crash, the first thing that's eliminated when you're an architectural artist is the artist.
Yeah.
So I was the first guy to go. So I had to reinvent myself. So being the Madonna of art, I reinvented myself from... and transition from doing these doors and water features that I'd worked for the various studios and theme parks over a 20-year career to making these large walls.
Okay.
And so my first one was, I kept driving by the Hobie building on downtown Laguna and dreaming about making a big mural on that wall. And being a surfer, I pitched it to Mark Christie, the owner of Hobie, and he loved the idea, and it kind of just went from there.
Okay. So, wow. And so let's go back a little ways. So did you grow up here in town and you were like a natural waterborne kid?
Well, actually, I came down in the summers. We came out here during the Korean War in the 50s. My dad was a Marine.
Okay.
And he was a survivor Marine from World War
II.
So that's how we got here. And then we would come down in the summers and we lived in a little small town up about an hour from here called Laverne. You know, or all orange groves and, you know, rural. So
I guess back then it was actually a small town, not just suburb.
We had one grade of one class of every grade at our elementary school.
Okay.
And we could go to school barefooted if we had a note from our mom. Yeah, it was crazy. Walk a mile. You know, you hear about the walk a mile in the snow.
Yeah.
We'd have to walk a mile through the orange groves.
Uphill both ways.
Yeah.
Okay, so you grew up in Southern California and came to Laguna or to the beach every summer.
Yeah.
And so where did you decide that you wanted to be an artist?
Well, when I was a child, basically a kindergartner, I fell in love with my kindergarten teacher. She was absolutely fantastic. And so I had an aptitude for art. Finger painting. And she got, you know, because I was in love with her, I would try to please her by making these art pieces. And she entered a picture I made of a horse in the L.A. County Fair in Pomona, and I got the blue ribbon for the kindergarten for that year from all the schools. So that was my first award.
Did you get the girl?
No, she got married to somebody else and broke my heart. Something about the age difference or something.
Right.
She sat me down and told me, you know, when I'm 60, you'll just be 20.
So you're like, whatever.
But, and my dad worked for a paper company for a while, and he would bring me home big rolls of paper, and I would go and lock myself in my room. And then I would unroll the paper and make these storyboards of cowboys and Indians and surfers and army guys. And in fact, they took me to see somebody because I would lock myself in my room and isolate making art all the time. And luckily, they took me to the right person because she didn't suggest a lobotomy. She just suggested to keep encouraging me.
Yeah, because back then they could put you.
Yeah, you're gone.
So now, was your mom artistic or were there artists?
My aunt was very artistic. My dad was an athlete and a Marine.
Okay.
And my mom was a big encourager.
Oh, yeah.
you know, church every Sunday, and you know, she would get up in the morning and make us, each one of the kids. I have two siblings and my dad, and he was a kid too. And she would make us whatever we each wanted for breakfast.
You know? Wow.
So I came from a very loving mother, you know. So it's like going to a restaurant. That's my brother would be having French toast. I'd be having grits and eggs. You know, my sister would be
that's
having
like father knows best or something.
Yeah, kind of like that. So, you know, I had a really good childhood. I came down every summer to the beach. So that's how I met a lot of people in Laguna here that I still know. And got to be a surfer, and that was kind of my life. But my real thing was being in that rural community and growing up in that environment. Kind of, that's kind of where I got all my MacGyver skills.
Oh, okay.
What little I have.
And so did you go and study art, or are you just a natural?
Actually, I'm a natural, and I really didn't study it because I was an athlete. And when I was in college, I started a restaurant and kind of lived in another world. My dad really didn't encourage me.
You started a restaurant?
I started a restaurant, and then I had a nightclub, and I lived in that until I was about 35 years old. And I woke up one morning, and I decided I'm babysitting a bunch of people. The more money I make, the more I'm giving to the government and the landlord. Mm. And I decided, you know, it's up at the crack of noon, and you know, home right before dawn.
Right, that's
that lifestyle. And I just decided I wanted a different lifestyle. So I'm just going to go back to my art because that's really what makes me happy.
Okay.
And I wrote a book called The Creation Code. And in that book, I firmly believe that we have a lot of social ills because of people not doing what they're really called to do early enough.
Sure.
You know, and they get off doing something like, I went down the wrong path and I feel like I wasted 20, you know, nothing's wasted in this life.
But still not doing what's true.
Yeah,
to you.
Not doing your path.
Yeah.
What's your path? And I think that's what a lot of other countries that are our competitors do earlier. If you get on your right path, then you have a feeling, a sense of accomplishment because you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it's not a job to you.
It feels right. It's like a guitar in tune, right?
Yeah, like the theme for your show. Being, I mean, that's a very critical thing to especially an artist or a creative. I mean, you have to, you explore every day in your work, whether it's writing a song, making a play, writing a book.
And you choose very specifically how you're going to be, as opposed to if you're an accountant, you're probably not like, you know.
Yeah, you're not all, you know, you have to.
It's not transcendent.
I know, but, you know, I mean, you know, I feel that you can make being an accountant an art by doing it well.
Yes.
So what I guess my point is, if you get a late start, then you know you're not very good at being an artist or a writer. So you struggle a little bit.
Right.
Like it's already passed you by because all your friends are married and happy.
Yeah,
and
you're not
money.
Peaking.
And so there's a lot of alcoholism and drug use and other things that you lean on instead of finding your path.
Right.
I'm happy with the path I took.
Okay.
But I mean, I wouldn't change it for anything. I wouldn't want to do a lot of it again, but there was an easier way.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
And if I would have found that earlier, I think I would have been further along right now.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Well, but I think you're doing pretty good because you've done the Waterman's Wall. And so what was the, how did you choose what you were going to depict?
Well, I'd done one previous wall to that, but, I was passing by that wall. It was such a great wall.
Yeah. Cause it's big.
Between those, it was big. Yep, it was between those iconic pillars. That is actually a historical building, I think. I mean, a historical building in Philadelphia is, you know, something 150 years old here.
It's only
built in the 20s, so
right. Surviving architecture.
Yeah, but a surviving architecture.
You know, when I think about that, you driving by that wall, I think about the neighborhood congregational church, and they had a big retaining wall, and they did do an art piece on it
that
last
was
year. But, you know, it's just like screaming out for some.
There's a, you know, public art, there's a lot of public art that you know, all over the place in different cities it's being done. And I'm really an advocate for that. That was really not a public art thing because, you know, there's art in public places here in Laguna, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then there's other places where art can go that if the homeowner or business owner wants to put up art, then I think it's okay to let them do it, in my opinion, as long as they do it within the restraints of what the city's saying.
Yeah. So you're a businessman, you're kind of got out of school, and you decide to be an artist. Didn't you worry about like starving to death?
Yeah, I went through a lot of changes before the internet came along. And then when the internet came along and you could brand yourself and social media.
Sure.
Like I brought today with me today, Elizabeth Ortiz, who is my social media person. She's having fun now taking pictures. Say hi, Elizabeth. And there's just a different way to make money now. I mean, my wife and kids would be at the beach and, you know, down at the beach all summer, and I'd be in a hazmat suit out in the valley somewhere in 140 degree weather,
right?
Carving foam for a set.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, I went architectural route instead of the gallery route.
Well, and I needed to pick up
my lunch pail and go get a check.
Yes. So now, in today's world,
I make my living working with developers. I work in Cabo.
Okay.
I find these walls and I beg people to let me do these big roadmap of art walls, I call them, and you can make a living as an artist, and it's wonderful.
Wow. All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. My guest this morning is Randy Morgan. He is the artist that did the Waterman's Wall on Hobie's. That's what, 3rd Street?
Beach Street.
Yeah,
Beach and Forest.
Anyway, this is KX. This is Ernest, and we'll be right back after a couple of songs. This is KX93.5.
Okay. I hope I did okay answering that question.
Just want to satisfy, though you're
All righty. This is KX93.5. You are listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do the show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am happy. I'm having a great time with Randy Morgan, and he is an artist. He did the the Waterman's Wall at Hobie's. And so when we left off, we're really just kind of getting into that project a little bit. But you'd mentioned that you had a restaurant, you had, you know, kind of a businessman in college, and then took a dramatic turn into what you really called to do. How did your parents feel about that? Because you got stable income on the, you know,
my parents were pretty okay with me the switch. I'm Irish. Of Irish descent, so it's not a good thing for me to be in a bar all the time.
So, so they were
basically,
okay.
They vouched basically for that. If I was happy, everybody else was happy, because in life, you have to try to do what you're built to do, what you're born to do. And I felt I was a artist are born. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're musical, you're musical.
Sure.
That's a big thing I'm a big proponent of people doing what they're called to do. And finding out what that is, because then your life is a lot fuller. If I won the lottery this morning, I would party my ass off for a few weeks, but then I'd go back and be an artist. I'd be just doing exactly what I'm doing.
So you'd re-choose the same life.
Yeah,
all
I'd re-choose
over
this.
You had money or not.
Yeah, especially now, like I'm approaching 70, and wow, I'm.
You're still pretty vital.
Well, thank you.
In the game, I mean, you know,
Peter Pan.
Never grow up, people.
I've been accused of not growing up, and you know, I don't think that's necessarily a totally a bad thing. I mean, I have become more mature.
When they
more
were
mature.
Saying it to you, though, they yeah. It wasn't a compliment, yeah. Right?
No, it wasn't a compliment. It absolutely wasn't a compliment.
Okay, so you decide. You decide.
And I concur.
So when did it shift from, you know, like you said, you would get a big a big roll of paper and do storyboards, and when did you decide that you wanted to do dimensional art or three dimensional art or sculpture?
That's an easy one. So living in Laguna, I had the pleasure and the good luck to meet this gentleman from a very famous family in Laguna named the Abel family. Oh. And he was the granddaddy of the whole group, Pops Abel. And
Pops Abel.
He did the sculpture that's a still existing sculpture on the wall across from the Jack in the Box in Laguna, on the Pottery Shack, that big sculpture that's on the wall of the potter. And he did a lot of sculptures for restaurants. And he came over from Denmark, I believe, after World War I, and his good buddy, Eiler Larsen.
Oh, yes.
The original greeter. Wow. And he had his famous sons. His one son, Moens, was a wood carver, a very excellent wood carver and sculptor in his own right. And the whole family is very talented. And the tradition's being carried on now by Greg and his family. And,
right,
and,
right.
I was very blessed to know this man. And he taught me how to wood carve. So, and basically, I like going over and wood carving in a studio and sweeping a studio up. He was elderly at the time.
Yeah.
But basically, I'd go and listen to him tell me the same stories. You know, when you it was like the grandfather I never had, you know.
And like a little apprenticeship.
I was like an apprenticeship. Turned into more like an apprenticeship. And so I started carving wood, became a wood carver, made a lot of the signs around town that you don't know who made them in the old redwood signs. And I was fortunate enough to be the artist that did the first ecological sculptures back in the 70s. I did the sculptures for the marine reserve that extends from Main Beach all the way to Scotchman's Cove. Mm. And I did all the signs, and I carved seals and pelicans and everything. Mm. But and it was named after the mayor at the time. I think his name was Mayor Vetter. And they were the first public art pieces in Laguna, really. And somebody came one day and chopped them all down with a saw stole them. They stole them, I guess, because I was such a famous artist. I don't know why. They've never appeared ever anywhere again.
Well, they're probably, in somebody's
house somewhere.
Right, in their basement. They don't want anybody to see them, but they have them.
But they have them.
And so you said that you did some work with the movie studios or sets.
Well, what happened was then after that, wood became very expensive and hardwoods. And so I got away from carving wood. I studied with a lady named Betty Davenport Ford up in Claremont. She taught sculpture. She's a very great sculptor. I studied with her in ceramics, and then I started making castings and making things in bronze that.
All right.
So just to make money, about that time, I was running out of money. And so I'd sort of learned my craft after having a restaurant. And
I'd sort of learned my craft.
The internet had still not come along, and the social media. So I had to figure out how I was going to survive and be a sculptor at the same time, having no art education and being unable to teach school and make my art at the same time.
Right,
I had to go to work somewhere. My wife didn't want to sleep in the car with the kids.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Cab over camper.
Yeah, while I was trying to find my way, so I luckily got a job with one of the studios, carving foam and making sets, and then I worked on some of the theme parks, and then they would hire me for a project, and I'd make really good money, and then I'd get laid off, and I could collect unemployment for a while.
Right.
When that ran out, I'd go back to work on another project. So I kind of worked on my stuff and then their stuff and my stuff and their stuff. And then the internet came along and things changed.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's take it to now. And so you found your path. You obviously feel like you're in your sweet spot and doing what you're meant to do. And so what's coming up? What are you going to do?
So what's coming up is I have a TV show that is being sold. And
do you need a leading man?
You know what? They made me the leading man. I don't know why. It's a semi-reality show. So it's about me making my art and the struggles that I have. And my co-star is Tim Story. He's known as a life coach to the stars. Tim helped Charlie Sheen, Robert Downey Jr., Mike Tyson, Daryl Strawberry, all these guys come back. What he does is the studios usually hire him to come in when there's a bad boy or somebody that needs help.
Right. They're uber talented, but they're
a crazy artist.
Spilling off the side.
So I don't know how they figured out to make me that guy. It's really a stretch. but I'm going to give it a shot. And we shot the pilot, and we're shooting the we shot footage for the first episode, and I'm writing the Bible right now. The Bible is what the episodes are going to be about in the next the first season. So it's just an outline of what.
You're writing it. You don't have
Well, it was my intellectual property, and it was my idea. So and I pitched it.
So how did that happen? I mean, how did you get the entree?
I knew a couple producers, and I just was talking to them about my career, and they were interested in my art. And we just, one thing led to another, and TV being what it is today, there's a lot of different places to stream TV shows.
Yeah,
TV show has a wide wide connotation.
Sure.
I mean,
but
it gives you a lot of latitude because you can stream it on if you had to.
Right.
On YouTube.
But there's so many outlets now.
Today. And more coming.
So much going on.
And they're looking for content. So I encourage anybody that's a writer or has a really good idea to pursue it. Now, we used to have, when I was growing up, I'll never change where I came from, but, we didn't have the internet, and we only had 2, 4, and 7 TV shows. And today, you have Netflix, you have Showtime,
100 channels on cable.
And you got Amazon coming, Google's coming, and they're looking for content.
And
so it's
Disney.
Really a good time to be a creative. So if you have an idea, just capsulize your idea and pitch it, and you never know. My deal isn't set yet. That's why I can't say the name of it.
But
I'm going to come back on the show and say it. We're just finalizing details, and you know, it's never done till it's done.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to say I have a TV show, but.
But that's, like we said, that's your kind of the next trapeze.
That's the next trapeze.
Reaching for.
That's the linchpin of my next year. And I have some projects coming up. A couple of hotels I'm doing some architectural work for. And I have a Motown project back in Detroit on a hotel that
I'm going to do. You are living the life of your dreams, or at least on your path. Do you jump out, wait. Do you spring out of bed with a song in your heart every morning?
You know what? It's more like I get unhooked from all the machines. No. you know, I've lost a couple of steps in the last couple of years, quite truthfully, but I do get up in the morning at really early. I wake up early, and I'm really happy to be alive.
Okay.
And be an artist, and
okay.
And I really have a grateful heart, and I just want to say that, you know, as you get older, you know, I'm more concerned now about my legacy and picking and choosing the jobs I take.
You can be a little selective.
I'm really happy when I look back at my body of work, that where I'm at. But as an artist, I think it's always the next painting. It's kind of like being a mountain climber, you know.
It was fun
to climb that mountain, but now I've been down
a band. I mean, you know, you work all this time to make a song, and then you record it, and
right?
You
exactly.
Throw it out there, and exactly. You are the hot ticket for about a week.
And you know, I've been life coached a lot by my friend Tim, and you know, you just have to have a grateful heart, and nobody ever really changes very much, and I really didn't need to be changed too much. I'm not too far from that character in the show, but that's the old Randy. You know, that's okay. The growing up in the 70s and
the wild child.
And that's just part of the journey. But truthfully, I live the life of kind of a hermit today, and I'm in the studio a lot, and I like that, and I'm getting some introspection.
All right.
You know, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful to get up every morning. I mean, I think it's an accomplishment that I made it to 70, frankly. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the next few years, and I'm concerned with just making art and making the art that I want to make. And I have a lot of people that are encouraging me. I have a lot of fans. I call them fans because they communicate with me all the time on social media and encourage me. And Laguna Beach is a great place to be an artist.
So now, you do social media yourself?
No, I actually have help. If you knew me, you would be laughing. I have to find a 5-year-old to help me with my phone.
With the buttons.
Operate my phone. But basically, I have Elizabeth Ortiz and Faye Chapman helping me.
You've made your transition to the modern age. You may not actually rub the keys yourself.
No.
But you appreciate the power of being connected.
I appreciate the power of being able to show your art. It's like I looked today on social media, and my friend Pat Tobin, more like an acquaintance. I ran into him a bunch of times in Mexico, and he's from Laguna. And I knew him a little bit before he left for Mexico in the 70s or 60s. And he's on the cover of Ocean Magazine. And it's just great. He's passed away a few years back, but he's got his body of work that people are still admiring to this day. And I'm hoping people get enjoyment out of the stuff I've done. And so, you know, that's what being an artist is. I mean, you just you come here to the planet and you leave your body of work. And people appreciate it or they don't, and that's okay.
Yeah,
because it's like a food court. You don't like Chinese food? Don't eat it.
Yeah, there's tacos over there.
So I'm happy, and I encourage anyone that wants to be an artist to. There's so many different ways to get educated and stay on your path, and it's frustrating at times, but you're really very lucky in today's world that there is an internet, there's a social media, and there you can have an e-commerce site and then all of these different platforms to sell your art on. Plus the art galleries are great. I happen to have a really good art gallery here in Laguna that I show at, the Forest and Ocean Gallery.
Okay.
And
I think you have something in there now, right?
I have things in there now. I have the Skipper statue. of our good friend Skipper Carrillo, which that's the biggest thing I'm doing in the next year.
Okay.
Is to try, and hopefully by Patriots Day, is get Skipper's monument down on the sidewalk. And you're going to be seeing that on social media. If you go to my website, randymorganart.com, or you friend me on Facebook, you should look at the Skipper statue, because Skipper's our friend, and everybody loves Skipper, and he's 80 now.
What is so inspiring about him? Because I know a lot of people, you know.
Well, I didn't go to the high school in Laguna. I was down in the summers, and I became friends with Skipper in the 70s. He would walk by my house in his baseball uniform, as everyone knows, and give me that. It's a mantra. When you go, you'd yell to Skipper, "Hey, Skipper!" And he waves to you and says, "Have a home run day." Well, he's actually up on his toes like a pitcher in baseball. He's actually throwing you a blessing. I talked to the priest at the church.
Wow.
Where he's an altar boy every morning in his baseball uniform.
And wow.
He has been doing that forever.
Well, I think the story is he's been wearing the baseball uniform every day since his mom died.
Yeah.
Because when she was alive, she'd only let him wear it on certain days.
If you go to the dugout, which is what he calls his house, is the dugout, which is so cute. He's got like 30 or 40 baseball uniforms of every, I didn't even know there were that many baseball teams, but they have a copy of their uniform, but he's got so many different uniforms. And if I could tell just a quick 30-second story about Skipper. When I decided to do the monument, I went with my photographer and buddy Tom Kemp, and we went to, with my current girlfriend, and we went and picked Skipper up, and we went to the baseball field, and I wanted him to have that pose of where he's throwing you the have a home run day, so he's like waving,
right.
And that was the pose we shot. So sculpture's very technical, so I wanted to get a picture of him in a baseball uniform, the right side, the left side, the front side, and the back side. Yeah. So we took the pictures, we're back in the car, I'm sitting in the back seat, Skipper, and I go, "So Skipper," I go, "what's your philosophy?" And he looks at me, and he points to the sky, and he goes, "First it's my God," and he goes, "then it's my parents," and then he puts his arm around me and smiles like a 5-year-old kid and go, "and then it's my teammates."
Oh,
and it just,
wow.
everybody in the car just started crying.
Wow.
Because the guy's just has such a pure heart, and he's pure love, and he doesn't have any sort of an agenda at all.
Right.
If he meets you, he'll give you you'll tell him your name. Mm-hmm. So when you said Ernest, he's going to call you Ernie Banks.
I know that's right. Okay. Be prepared.
And that's just who Skipper is. So I'm very honored to be able to have gotten. I swore after doing some public art that I really don't like to do public art because, you know, there's too much criticism. Yeah. And I basically I don't like criticism. So deservedly or undeservedly so.
Right.
I came out of the bullpen for Skipper, let's just say that.
All right.
I thought he needed a statue. I didn't realize it would take this long to get the statue done and get it on the sidewalk, but it costs money. And artists, we don't really think about those things.
It's the journey. Stuff. So we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we'll have more from Randy Morgan, sculpturer. Artist that created the Waterman's Wall. He's got obviously quite prolific. And you're listening to KX93.5. This is The Importance of Being Show. And we'll be right back.
Something's beating, you know, my stars, it's true. It's true, this point of view. For you, strong man will do. We'll be right back.
All right. Well, well, this is KX93.5. You are listening to The Importance of Being Show, and I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and today I have in studio Randy Morgan, and he is an artist and soon to be TV star. And he's done the Waterman's Wall here in Laguna Beach. He's got a statue of Skipper Carrillo that he's trying to get mounted in time for the parade. And so I'm sure along the way you've had help, you know, I mean, you change from being like a business person to an artist, and you started off maybe wood cutting and then got into, you know, reels or bronze sculpture.
Right.
Did this just happen all by itself, or did other people help you along the way?
Well, it basically happened over many years. There's quite a span of time from working at the studios to working on my own to having my door company where I was selling my sculptured doors. And then in the 08, when I had the change, start doing this roadmap of art walls and the Hobie wall you're referring to. I want to thank Mark Christie for letting us put the Waterman's Wall on the side of his building there.
And, yeah, Mark's a great guy.
Yes. And it was nice of him to give us the wall to honor our watermen and women in Laguna and our ocean culture, frankly. But and you know, there's only so many caricatures and figures that can be on that wall, and there's literally thousands of watermen that I could have replaced any one of them with.
Right.
I basically was just choosing the image and what I knew. You know, I didn't research it to the hilt or take a poll. So
it ended up with the people that
I knew about. So, but I think we nailed it pretty good with some of the people we have on that wall, and it's an honor. What I do a lot. I just had a show at the BC Space Forest Avenue during Hunger and Homelessness Month that Faye and Chapman Gail Duncan and the city supported, where I took my lifetime's work, all these big murals like the Waterman's Wall and other pieces that I made, and we made giclée prints and blew them up on canvas. And the giveaway was we had 35 pieces that we were going to give on the silent auction to Helping Hands, which is Don Scortino's group that helps homeless people get off the street one person at a time by getting them a car. They have to be sober, getting them a job, getting them a car, getting them an apartment. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to help them, and I wanted to do a give back. I also wanted to have a exhibition of my life's work. So it's actually online now at www.randymorgan.com. You can still give to Helping Hands. We'll ship you your piece, and we'll give the proceeds to Helping Hands. We're going to have that up for at least a month. And I would just want to say it was very nice to be involved in that project, because I got to see from November 1st going to the Friendship Shelters Gala in Dana Point and all the different groups that had silent auctions and giveaways to help the homeless. And I just want to say that I'm really grateful to live in a town where people are so giving to help other people. And that's the only way we're going to straighten out some of the social ills and some of the problems we have, is if we all contribute a little bit. So thank you, everyone that contributed, and thank you, everyone that's helped me along my path to be an artist. It's a, you know, it's a tough road. And I'm no day at the beach, I realize. So I want to just thank you all for sticking by me and helping me along my way. And hopefully I'm the latter part of my life here, I'll be having a great big give back to everyone. So.
All right. Well, thank you
for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really enjoyed spending the time with you. And hopefully you can come back when you have some other accomplishments to chronicle.
Yeah, I'd love to come back and announce the show and that what the name ends up being and what channel it's going to be screened on and run on. And I'd love to come back with Skipper, maybe.
Yeah, that's possible.
At the Patriot time.
All right.
Skipper, you think I have funny stories. You should hear Skipper's funny stories.
All right, that's all the time we have.
Thank you very much.
And coming up next is Steve Reed with the Coast Highway Shuffle. You've been listening to The Importance of Being Show. Have a wonderful Sunday, everyone, and we'll be back next week.